We praise God for the ministries of the Holy Spirit in our life to convict us, to teach us. John 16, I think 24, Jesus said, "He will glorify me." And as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, just depend on the Spirit of God in our lives to bring honor and praise to the Lord Jesus as we remember him and honor him for what he did and the change in our life for eternity. So I'd like to just ask the Lord to get done by his Spirit in our hearts and our lives what's on his heart. We thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you sent the Savior. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit in our lives to so many ministries to us, but this ministry of glorifying the Lord Jesus. And we ask that you do that in our midst here today as we prepare our hearts to remember what he did for us. So we ask your guidance and direction in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I realize here lately that many of the passages, whether it's been scripture memory or what I was speaking on last week, or have had such an emphasis on our heart and the importance of our heart and our heart being right with God. And as we have been born into God's family, our heart needs to be changed, and our heart needs to come to honor our Lord Jesus. In Romans 8:29, we know that God's plan for us, he knew this before he made the world. To know the mind of God is amazing. But he destined those that would come to him, and he knew those that would receive Christ. His plan was to make them like his son, that they would be conformed to the image, and it's to have a heart like our Lord Jesus. And so as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I think it's so important to ask God to search our hearts. We've just sung David's prayer again. I love that prayer in 139, Psalm. "Search me, O God, and know my heart." And we, over in one of the memory verses over in Hebrews 4, the word goes in and helps expose what's in our heart. So for me, for you, may God help us know what's going on in our heart. And for the Lord's Supper, it's a time of examination, and I think it's so important just to focus on our heart. 1 Corinthians 11:27, where Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper, he said, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." We do present the Lord's Supper. It's for believers. They're remembering what Jesus did for them, but it's also a time to come with an open heart for what God wants to do in our life. The next verse says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Now, I love the way that's put. Examine yourself, and as there's something needs to be done right there on the spot, you can confess it to God and purpose to have him turn that around in your life. So it is a time of examination. May God expose in my heart and our hearts here today things that are on his heart for changing us. Some of the reminders about the heart. Last week had a message on Asa, and the message that came to Asa, and I love the message. At this point in Asa's life, he did not love the message because his heart had been changed, and we want to think about that. But he had shared with Asa, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." You know the power of God, and you know how he works. Who would not want God to show himself strong on your behalf and what he has you doing and your life's work and your daily walk with him? But our hearts need to be right. For those whose heart is mature and right and obedient, it's a number of different translations would say it differently, but a heart that's right with the Lord. And then we have David's word in Psalm 139 that God would, he already throughout that psalm pointed out, God knows everything about me. He knows my words before I say them. He knows my actions when I stand up, when I sit down. And so he goes through and talks about God's omniscience. But then he says that at his prayer, search me, O God, know my heart. Help me to know in my heart things that are wrong so it can be right. And you know that God has not played favorites. David committed a horrible sin, and he repented in Psalm 51. It says, cleanse my heart, O God. He confessed his sin to God and asked that God would create a clean heart in him. But he is known as a man after God's own heart. God said of him, and it's shared also in Acts, back in the record, I looked for a man that had a heart for me. And so that's one of the things David, search me, O God, and know my heart. We had a memory verse in Hebrews 4:12. Says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to us, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And then it says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so when we come to the word of God, we need to be open to what God shows us. It goes in, the word is an offensive weapon, sword of the spirit that God uses, but it's also a surgical instrument to go in and help us discern what's going on in our heart. And God desires to prepare a people with right kind of hearts before him, to have a family throughout eternity that are like him, with a heart like him. And if you want to know what God's heart is like, God so loved the world. He so loved this fallen creatures of the world that he gave his son to pay the price to bring us back to him. And so may God deal with our hearts. God dealt with our heart in Jeremiah 17 that Jack read this morning. And two issues that he brought up that are heart issues. Do we either trust in ourselves or in man, or do we trust in the Lord? And he said, if you trust in man for your help and look to the arm of flesh, he said, there's a curse on that. You're going to be like a gnarly old bush in the wilderness that cannot see even when good comes. God has given quite a picture there of this matter. If we are self-dependent, I'm going to do it myself. That's the wrong kind of heart. When we come to the Lord, we know that Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. And we're dependent on him. So he said, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. And then he describes that as a flourishing tree. But he points out then the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I don't have the reference right now. I was going to use it, but God said, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a heart that's after me, and that's what we need. He said, I check it out and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God works in our hearts. So I just for a moment would go back to Asa, just a reminder of last week. Asa, a great-great-grandchild, son of David, and throughout most of his reign, what a wonderful testimony, had the people committing to follow God. His prayer, I think I read his written down his prayer, there was a million-man army from Ethiopia came against him. And his prayer was this: Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against us. The next verse says, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa. His son, Jehoshaphat, gave us a liking kind of prayer when he was up against. He must have learned from his father. The sad thing is that along the line, somehow Asa figured things out. When there was a problem, he figured out how to do it instead of going to the Lord. And there is a number of, especially the kings of Judah in their lives, are lessons to me. Trust the Lord, but do not let that change. Maybe you learn how to get along better in things, or you face, God always wants us to bring it to him. So in his 36th year, and I just would remind you, the northern kingdom, they were building a city that Benjamin and Judah couldn't go into the northern kingdom. And he didn't ask the Lord what to do. It's obvious he didn't, but he hired the Syrian army to take care of it. And that's how he gets reproved. The messenger from the Lord came and told him, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And he says, in this you have done foolish, and you have let the enemy escape. And that message enraged Asa. A wonderful message to help us to know how God's looking for those that trust him. But then Asa points out that he got diseased in his feet. And I just point this out. It shows where he's at. And it's stated this way. The disease in his feet became very great, and he sought only to the physicians and not to the Lord. And I just would believe, as I look at that, there's nothing wrong with going to the physicians, but God wants us to seek him first. One of the things those that ask for anointing, is God may send them for help medically, but we first of all seek him for his healing and for his direction and what he purposes. And so there's a number of the other one that stands as a reminder to me and a concern about not staying true to the Lord right to the end is Solomon. Solomon loved the Lord, and I would just refer to that. He loved the Lord. He had a heart for God. And God was blessing him, giving him all this wisdom. One of the things that, as a king, they have the word out of Deuteronomy. When the king, there's several things, the king was supposed to do several things. They were supposed to copy the law and read in it every day, so they'd do what the word, what the law and what the word had said. But also said in there, they should never multiply wives to themselves, because it would turn their heart away from the Lord. Solomon had wisdom, but somehow he wasn't heeding obedience to what God had said. And you know the record says that Solomon multiplied wives to himself, an unbelievable number of foreign wives, and they turned his heart away from the Lord. And Solomon was building heathen idols for some of those wives that wanted them. And he did evil in the Lord's sight. And it ended up through his son splitting the kingdom. Just a reminder in the midst of it, guard your heart. In fact, commit your heart to God to keep it, because our sinful way is always after us to depart. And we have an enemy that would try to get us to depart from having a heart for the Lord. So God points out in Jeremiah 17 in this whole matter of what we trust in, that's a heart issue. And we know that he says he searches the heart. What is God looking for in the heart? And I just jotted down a few just for us to think about here before we partake of the Lord's Supper. He wants a heart that's fervent after him. And I think of the word to the Laodicean church in Revelation 3:20, where he said, he said, you are lukewarm. I think could also fit to say you are half-hearted. You are trusting in riches instead of looking to me for riches and all sorts of things. But then he comes to them and said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. God is looking for wholeheartedness for him, not half-heartedness, not lukewarmness in our relationship to him. I think another problem that we have is depending on self, independence. I just remind us from John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We need to know and understand our dependence on him. God wants a clean heart. That was one of the cries of David after he had messed up so badly. And Psalm 51 asked God for his mercy, but then he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and a right spirit before you. He wants a clean heart. He wants ongoing fellowship. In 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. He wants obedience. In Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? One of the other things that's so important about our heart is humility. For the Lord gives grace to the humble, or he hates the pride, but gives grace to the humble. Matthew 22, verse 37. The young man that came to Jesus said, what do I need to be right so I can go to heaven? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. There's no doubt that what comes out of our life is a heart issue, and what's in our heart. But God can change our heart, and God can cleanse our heart, and by his Spirit, give us a heart like the Lord's heart. You know, the heart of our God, he so loved a world in desperate need that deserved, all of us deserved, eternal separation from him. But he didn't want it that way. And so may God give us hearts that are after him and hearts that he sees. And let me quote that verse one more time. The eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God's looking in your household. He's looking where you live. They go throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. So Lord, we just bring today our hearts before you. Lord, you search the heart. things can be hidden from us as we live. We're so used to doing things in a certain way. By your word, Lord, you discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so as we prepare for the Lord's Supper this morning, I pray that you examine my own heart, Lord. Examine our hearts here. And my heart cry, Lord, I've been warned in Scripture about those that did trust you and then they kind of went their own way and trusted in themselves. Deliver us from that, God. Keep us true to the end, I pray. Search our hearts, God, I pray in Jesus' name. Could we stand together and sing, Thank You, Lord, the chorus, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
Lord, this morning I'm thinking of the apostle's words to Timothy, that I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day. Lord, we ask you to keep our hearts. Keep our hearts. We've seen the tendency of some of those who went off with their heart. We invite you to keep our hearts as we commit them into your care, and that we would be diligent in seeking you to search our hearts. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.